We have a kinsman redeemer. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You say, well, how was he related to us, being a Jew and we being Gentile? But you're forgetting something. We're descendants of Adam. And Adam was God's created man. Adam was a son of God by creation. Jesus Christ was the second man, Adam. He was God's son by virgin birth. Flesh and blood had nothing to do with the birth of my Redeemer. He became the second man, Adam, the Lord from heaven. And he became our elder brother, our kinsman Redeemer. The law didn't do it. Conscience didn't do it. None of the others could pay for our sins. But our elder brother came and died on the cross of Calvary and purchased this church, of which I'm a member, and you're a member, with his own life's blood. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, praise God. But I just want to stress a little bit the word family. When I read that scripture, my mind went back to 33 years ago or more, when I first began preaching, and I was preaching from the 24th chapter of Matthew, preaching under an oak tree at Elm Store, Arkansas, where Dad Rooks was pastoring a little church. And I preached on the word family. And got home that night, he said, I want to give you a Bible lesson. I've never forgotten. And now, buddy, I stand where Dad Rooks stood, and I'll be telling you some things, and you take it as meekly as it stung me, and I didn't like it much, but I got off and read it. He said, it's not famine, it's famine. In so many words, he said, you embarrass me. You kept saying, famine, famine, it's famine. Well, I've never said famine anymore except to tell you the story. But famine drove people away from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David. Later on, of course, and you know the story, Bethlehem is the land of bread. Bethlehems mean place of bread. But there was a famine in the land. There was no bread where there's supposed to be. A place named for its plentiness at one time, I guess. The blessings of God resting upon it. But at this particular point, they had to leave the land of bread. And they went to the land of Moab. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it seems like sinners are faring more sumptuously than saints? Famine sometimes hurts the people of God, but usually there's a reason if you look back and to see why. Like in the days of Jacob and his sons, or Isaac, rather. When you study about the times of famine that all of these men, you study about the sons of Jacob, of course, and their migration, their leaving and going to the place of Egypt as they journeyed to a land where there was food, where there was something to eat, where there was grain. The promised land had no grain. It had a drought. It had several years of scarcity. There was just absolute scarcity in the land of promise. Now, isn't it sad that sometimes right where God's blessings are supposed to be, that they don't seem to be there? And people journey to other places. This is sad, but I've known people to leave our churches that preach the name of Jesus and go to places that do not preach the name of Jesus, seeking healings and blessings. I'm not criticizing them for going. It's like I heard Brother R.E. Johnson, who has arthritis in his spine, and he's all drawn, and he walks with a cane. He said, I've tried everything that they tell me to take for this arthritis in my spine. He said, they told me that if I'd go to the sea and get some salt water and boil the salt out of it and drink that, that would help my arthritis condition. He said, I tried it. But I'm still on the cane. Now, he said, the people laughed at me for trying. But he said, I'm the fellow that can't sleep at night. I'm the fellow that's hurting. And I'm willing to try any reasonable thing to get relief, he said. And he said, they told me if I'd get alfalfa, our prophecy and make me a tea out of that. He said, I'd get over it. He said, I drank that. It didn't taste good, but I was hoping to feel better. It didn't help me, he said, but I'm still a candidate for something that'll take this pain out of my body. And he said, you won't understand that unless you're hurting. You can't understand somebody seeking for the blessing of healing, seeking for deliverance, going here and there, unless they're the one that's in need when you get desperate. And the brother that was telling me about it was rather critical of Brother Ramsey. And please don't think that I'm compromising. Don't get the wrong idea. But I said, you wouldn't probably understand Brother Ramsey's position unless you had a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old boy in wheelchairs that had not been delivered, and you knew that in a year or two that death was sure unless you found Jesus, unless you found healing, unless you found deliverance. But now what I'm trying to tell you is we shouldn't have to go to the Robinson Auditorium or to Dallas, Texas, or to Miracle Valley, or to the Field of the Woods, or any other place necessarily. There ought to be bread in Bethlehem. And this is our Bethlehem. This is the house of David. Praise God.
Praise God.
Our conduct, our daily life, our prayer, the way we treat one another, the way we love one another, the way we worship God, the way we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Praise God. This has to do whether there's bread in Bethlehem or not. When I say bread in Bethlehem, I mean conviction in the church house. I mean strength in the church house. I mean victory in the church house, like we've had tonight. Praise God. I mean healing in the assembly. I'm talking about bread. Bread in God's country. If there's any place that ought to have the blessings of God upon it, it's God's land. It's Bethlehem. It's Palestine. I'm not talking about natural Palestine. Forget that. We're come to a new Jerusalem. We're come to a general assembly of the church of the firstborn. We're encamped about with angels. Hallelujah. This is the church of the living God. Let's praise Him for this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is to our disgrace. I've wondered why did Jacob have to send his sons away? Why? Why did they have to go to Egypt? Why should Egypt be blessed with all their sin, idolatry? Why should they have their coffers full of riches? Why should they have the grain? Why should they be the blessed nation? They were not even the people of God. God made a covenant with Abraham, and then with Isaac, and then with Jacob. This land is yours as long as you shall live. This is yours. Perpetual. That means on and on and on and on. It's called a land of milk and honey, a land of blessing. But you know there was a condition to that. If you walk uprightly, if you serve me, if my people which are called by my name, that echoes from the days of Samuel, that echoes all the way down to 1977. If my people which are called by my name, the conditions will humble themselves. God, give us humility. You know why there's not more shouting and rejoicing? Proud. Not humble enough. Will humble themselves, number one. And pray, number two. Seek my face, number three. Hallelujah. Turn from their wicked ways, number four. Then will I hear from heaven. And I'll open the windows of heaven. And I'll give you such a blessing that you cannot contain. God says, I'll rebuke you in your power. You don't have to worry about the old worms and crickets and insects. If you'll humble yourself, I'll rebuke your devourer. I'll take care of alien enemies. There's no country under the sun that can overrule the natural Israel. When Israel would walk upright before God, they could win battles without a sword. They could win battles with a trumpet of praise. They could win battles by all-night prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. And the Scripture, the New Scripture, tells us that there shall be a famine. Then another famine is coming for the lack of the Word of God. And let me be serious with you just a minute. There's a terrible scarcity today in our midst of the real things because we're too filled with substitutes. We substitute sincerity with formality. I went into a church some time ago, Sister Morgan, you may have been there. It's been several years ago. The local black people church. They asked me to preach the anniversary service. And I'm not ridiculing them in the least. I think it's nice to have a program if we don't go program all the way. But I sat down back in the auditorium and I saw the ushers as they come and got the bishop and led him up to the platform and set him down in a big old chair about like this one. And they went and got the bishop's wife and led her up, escorted her real polite like, you know, I don't even know how to fix my hands like that, you know. Set her down up there by him, and here they come after me. They pranced me down the aisle and seated me, and they were so nice to me. That I appreciated, you know. Finally, I got up and I said, you folks are really religious, or you're the biggest bunch of hypocrites I've ever seen yet. You're acting religious. Now, it's one thing to act religious. It's another thing to be religious. And what we are is whether or not it determines whether or not we've got bread in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the land of bread. Apostolic means what the apostles did. That's what we do. We better do it. Pentecostal means what they had on the day of Pentecost is what we have. We better have it. A sign don't mean anything unless it's in our hearts and in our service. Hallelujah to God. Honor the Lord with love. But I think if you look at the lives of the 10, of the 11 sons that were now living, at the time Joseph was sold, if you see how their actions, if you see their conduct, I think you'll understand why there was a plague in Israel. If you'll see the hatred that they had for the one godly boy that was in their midst, hatred will bring a drought. If we let hatred rule in our lives and in our church, we cannot have the bread in Bethlehem that we want. It just don't happen. These fellows hated. Not all that, they literally made fun of Joseph, the only holy one in their midst. They called him a dreamer. But there's more to his dreams than just a dream. There's dreams and then there's dreams. And he had dreams. Praise God. His dreams had a destiny. And they laughed at him. You can't make fun of the people of God. You cannot make fun one of another. We laugh. That's not always making fun. Sometimes you're funny and we laugh. And I try to be funny and you don't laugh. I don't understand that. But you did. But you cannot do spite to one another, be envious of one another, hate one another, work against one another. It cannot be done and then expect to have bread in Bethlehem. We ought to take the sign down apostolic and put Ichabod there if we have division and hatred and malice and envy and strife. No, no, let's don't take the sign down. Let's just be what we're supposed to be. And everybody worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know the condition. I do know this. After several years, of course, I'm telling you the honest truth. You never know what these people went through. Jacob sent his sons down for bread, and it's too long a story to go into tonight. They came back home with a report. Of course, little Benjamin had been born in the meantime. Joseph was now governor in Egypt, and my, all the things they went through. Eventually, Jacob and his whole 70 souls moved down from Israel into Egypt, and they multiplied into several thousand. several hundred thousand, maybe even to as many as a couple of million people in 400 years' time. You say that's impossible. Uh-uh. Our nation is only 200 years old, started with just a handful of weary pilgrims that made their way over here. Look what a gigantic nation we are in 200 years. 400 years, these people were in a land that didn't belong to them. 400 years, they were in Egypt. And the land of promise was just a ways over there, laying barren and dead. Well, it wasn't really barren. Other inhabitants had come in. Other people come in and enjoyed the benefits of the blessings of God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we don't worship God, you're going to find some of these nominal churches testifying about things that we believe in and know about. Because God's going to pour His blessing out on somebody. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, if anybody's going to be blessed, it ought to be us. And I don't say that with reflection, but after all, we're the sons of God. Hallelujah. Think about in your own family. Sure, you'd feed a bum, wouldn't you? It's a little person that'll slam a door in a bum's face unless you analyze him a little bit and know whether he's hungry or not. Feed the hungry. Don't take any chances of mistreating anybody. I'm serious about this. Don't take any chances. Several years ago here, Sister Rutledge was... This thing, I hope I tell it right. But in our Sunday school, there was a man come in one day, sat back there somewhere. And I think I asked him to testify. And he was an older man, and he looked like he was suffering from malnutrition. And he had a little grip with him. You could tell that he was more so a bum, as we use the word. But he didn't ask us for anything. I think he did ask for prayer before he left, and at the close of the service, he got up and slipped out just before the services were dismissed, and we didn't get to shake his hand. And somehow that got on Sister Rutledge's mind, and she got to thinking about that poor hungry-looking man that was in our church. And we went over to the house, and this was several years ago when we were not having it hardly as easy as we are now, actually, financially, and $5 was pretty hard to get a hold of, and pretty hard to turn loose of unless you really knew what you was doing. So she said, "Do you have $5 I can have?" And she had such a nervous action about her, I knew there's something wrong. And I said, "What do you want with $5? She said, "Don't ask me. If you've got it, just give it to me." And I said, "You want to give it to that bum, don't you?" "Yeah, but you didn't have to ask me." So I gave her $5. She got in the car and drove up and down the streets looking for that fellow. She didn't find him. But I suppose if there's special rewards handed out, she'll get an extra $5 blessing for wanting to help somebody that she thought was hungry. Blessed be the Lord. Don't take any chances on hurting somebody. Amen. It's better to throw away a dollar occasionally to some unworthy person than it is to mistreat somebody that needs help. I'm telling you, we've got to have love like we've never had it before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But for 400 years, these people were there, wound up in bondage, went through all the things that they went through, fought all the battles that they had to fight, go through all the hardships that they had to go through, just because the original 11 sons, 10 of them, were notoriously wicked, and this brought hardships upon the entire body. Now, I'm telling you folks tonight, I don't know why Naomi's and her husband's plight had to be. I don't know what brought the problem on in the days of the judges. I do know there was a lot of corruption in Israel. I know that there was whoredom. I know that there was fornication. I know there was adultery. I know there was idolatry. I know all of these things was going on. And that must be the reason that there was a great scarcity in the land. So Naomi and her husband made their way, and their two sons made their way over to the land of Moab. And there they stayed for several years. He died, the two sons died, left the two daughters-in-law and Naomi. And then one day she said, I'm going back to the land of bread. Hallelujah, I'm going back where the promises of God are. And you can't really count on the blessings of God in Moab. Don't you depend on the blessings of God in Robinson Auditorium. There may have been some blessings there, But I'm telling you, folks, let's get the fire burning right here. Let's get the bread right here. This is our Bethlehem. This is our bread house. Let's worship God in His name. Let's let the Holy Ghost rule and reign in our heart and life. This thought just struck my mind. God has made us kings. We're rulers. Hallelujah. The first fellow you got to conquer is you. He set up His throne in our heart. Praise God. He's in here. We've got to let Him conquer ourselves. You say, we're going to judge the world. Well, first, we better judge this fellow. We better get him under control. If we let him reign in our heart, let me say this about the flesh. If you compromise with that old flesh who wants to do wrong, he or she does, you know. Some of you, the least little thing happen, you'll say words you ought not to say. You better not compromise with that old booger. If you compromise with the flesh that you're carrying around, he'll destroy you. He'll destroy your spiritual self. God's given you power over your flesh. He's given you power over your hands. He's given you power over your eyes. He's given you power over your ears. He's given you power over your actions. You may be one of the despisable ones in this world. You may be one of the aggravating ones in this world by nature. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can make you sweet. The Holy Ghost can make you right. The Holy Ghost can make you talk right. The Holy Ghost will make you walk right. Hallelujah. And if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves, they'll be bred in Bethlehem. Listen, I read in the beginning of the service tonight. In my name, they that believe. In my name, shall I cast out devils? It didn't say seek to cast out devils. It didn't say pray to cast out devils. It really did. It didn't, in this particular case, it did not say, pray for the sick. Later on it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick in the book of James. But in Mark 16 it didn't say, pray for the sick. It just said, you're going to do these things in my name. You know, most of us are not living so consecrated that we dare take on a task. We find ourselves begging for it. Come on, we find ourselves begging for it. Lord, we need healings. Oh God, we need miracles. I pray tonight. God, we need. Somehow God spoke in my heart, do right, live right, preach it right, worship right, get the people to follow you, live right, do right, worship right, pray right, do right, live right, treat one another right, worship right. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any other things, shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God! There'll be bread in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Apostolic will truly be apostolic. Pentecost will truly be Pentecost. Church of the living God will be truly the church of the living God. My house should be called a house of prayer. My house should be called a house of power. For you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. Go into all the world. And lo, I am with you. Where you go, I'll go, saith the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in honor to God. Seek His face. Seek His face. Seek His face. Seek His face. I feel God in a special way tonight. different. This is a different type of service. In my meditation today, I think, I feel God showed me something. And I don't mean this to be in the least bit of compromise. But I think God showed me that I've been somewhat wasting my time trying my best to get some of our people to do right and live right and dress right that they don't intend to anyhow. And I think the Lord said to me in my meditation, you are stifling your work by having to preach at those who would not do right. And you're embarrassing those that would come in that don't know the difference. And they think you're preaching at them when you're trying to get cold, lukewarm Christians to do right. And I believe the Lord said, if you'll preach to the sinner, if you'll see the fields that they're white, and you'll see that the harvest is great, now listen to me. I believe he said, they'll come in, and these babes in Christ will be so zealous, and so powerful, and so happy, and so thrilled, that it shall come to pass that a little child shall lead them. And I think the Lord said to me in my meditation, what you fail to do with your criticizing and with your belly aching and with your lambasting and with your hard preaching, you just preach the gospel to a hungry soul and let the hungry soul get excited and they'll put the others to shame and somehow they'll be led. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hadn't changed my mind at all, Brother Bernard. I still believe it takes a closer life than some of us are living. I believe it takes more concentration than some of us have. But I want to tell you something. You that may be dressed wrong, I'm just about to quit harping on it. I'm reaching for a soul that don't know about it. I'm reaching for somebody that's interested. I'm reaching for somebody that wants bread. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Seeking God and you that need God to come first and get on your knees and let's talk to God. God bless you.